Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Romero, along with your other host.
So this Ram, we'd like to welcome you all to Jesus Talk Daily. Remember that you are blessed and you should thank the Lord and Savior for putting you in the position to listen to our podcast tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.
But technology caused them. The Lord didn't create technology. The Lord hates technology.
The Lord created man, which created the technology you are using, son, so I suggest you shut your yapper and be more respectful to the Lord.
I am respectful to the Lord, and from what I hear, the Lord hates Pokemon and Digimon and all of this, and Facebook and all of this technology. I don't think the Lord
would respect. Well, as he say, you're hearing about the Lord is all hogwash, I can tell you that much. But I can tell you that directly from the Lord himself, he is a big fan of Mike Tyson's mysteries.
Does the Lord have time for bird sex?
Lord ain't got no time for bird sex. He's got to fly.
So, we're here. So here we are. It was funny. This podcast came up as a joke by Satish Ram on another podcast. I'm pretty sure it was Steven Universe, where you just made the joke of, you know, we should do one because I'm a fan. And then here we are. Because I also watched it previously.
Yeah, I mean, it speaks to, you know, we mentioned, for those of you who are listening and are kind of, they want to get a grasp of Mike Tyson's mysteries and if they should watch, yes, but you'll get that in a few. But it speaks to the whole idea of, you know, we're constantly looking for suggestions for shows, and sometimes it comes out of us spitballing and being idiots where I'm like, let's do Mike Tyson's mysteries. It's like, ha! And then after you're like, but you watched it. Yeah, I'm a fan. You too? Oh, let's do this. And so, you know, this has formed.
Yes, pretty much. And it's also a very fun show. I mean, I just, you know, before we talk about it more, I would like to mention that our call number is 718-664-9468. And you can use it, of course, to call in. You know, of course, if you call in, that number is 718-664-9468. And we're talking about episodes 1 and 2 tonight. So when we're on episode 1, you want to chime in with something on episode 1. Or episode 2, you want to chime in on something, please do call that number. Press 1 when asked, and we'll see you in the queue wanting to talk to one of us, and we'll put you through. Also, Satish, what else can you do with our call-in number?
You can use that same number, 718-664-9468, same call number that we always have, to call in to listen to us. Of course, if you're listening to us right now, you probably don't have that issue. But in case your internet goes out, your internet needs to be in use, it's going to be laggy through Netflix, WWE Network, whatever it might be, you can call in from any phone, toll-free, and listen to us through that method. And if you don't hit the one button, we won't put you on air and embarrass you.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think we would embarrass someone, but,
no, but
I think we would.
Real quick, by the way, before we get into this, I saw the episodes on demand, but I need to confirm. The end was the first episode, right?
The first episode was, the first ever episode was Chupacabra.
Good. It was called The End, which made me so happy.
And then
because
the second
I just turned that on.
Is about IBM.
IBM computer, yeah.
Yes.
But it made me so happy that I turned on Mike Tyson's Mysteries, and the first episode title is The End.
I really enjoy this show because I just think that everyone making it is really intelligent, where I think that people will misjudge, but that's a word, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, misjudge it. They will sit there and they'll think, this is just stupid tripe, and et cetera, and Adult Swim, et cetera, without realizing that they had to know stuff about authors that I know I don't know about. So I feel a lot like Mike Tyson in watching the first episode, where I felt really bad.
I think, you know, I think I almost like this show more than you, because I'm in love with it. I think that the humor is completely up my alley, where the script just continued to hit me with great jokes and things that made me laugh. Up to the whole John Updike, and then that's John Updike. Everyone thought he was dead, but apparently he transformed into a chupacabra. I'm like, fucking hell. And Cormac McCarthy is actually Cormac, you know, that's a thing.
Yeah. You know, I enjoyed it. I'm just saying that I think that a lot of people would accidentally, you know, put it into the wrong category without realizing it because of how wacky it is. But when you really get into the deep of it, you realize all the fun stuff and the fact that they actually had to, you know their stuff, I feel, before just writing it, you know, where it wasn't just a bunch of, let's say, fart jokes or random, you know, jokes or whatever. No, there's a bit more heart into it, especially having someone like Mike Tyson voicing himself, which really brought a lot to this show thus far.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, the first two episodes, and I haven't seen the third one yet. I'm going to watch it tonight because I didn't want to confuse myself since we're talking about one and two. The script was perfect to me, like A-plus perfect, where I just, and it's cool for me because, okay, Gravity Falls is not as funny to me as Mike Tyson's Mysteries, but it serves a different purpose because Gravity Falls isn't purely comedy. Like, Mike Tyson's Mysteries is obviously pure comedy, and for that, in that regard, it hits so well for me that I cannot begin to state how amused I am by the depth of the research they put into, like, parodying the Scooby-Doo mysteries.
Yes.
In terms of, like, the little things, like, they've got their own Velma and just the characters mirroring.
They have a mystery machine.
A mystery machine, not only a mystery machine, but one with Mike Tyson's face tattoo on it.
Yeah.
Which is brilliant.
It's just, you know, and of course, really talking about these actors, I brought up Mike Tyson, but, you know, the others as well, they're wonderful. I mean, you know, I can't name them by name right now. The only one that I wanted, well, other than Norm MacDonald.
No,
who
saying,
is the pigeon.
Norm
pigeon.
Is the easy one to pick out because the voice is there.
There's one that you may not have noticed, but I'm hoping you did. It's funny because it's not on his Wikipedia page, but I know he did it. Breckin Meyer, who... or his earlier stuff you may not know about, but he's actually on Franklin and Bash. He's the one who wasn't Zach from Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He is in this show. And he does a lot of work with Robot Chicken. And you can tell that it was him because he was the rancher that died, that was on the, you know, with the one that died, right? He was him. He was in the second episode as the Grandmaster, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he was also the news reporter reporting in the second episode at the end of the episode.
That's great.
And it's very interesting. Yeah, it's still his, and you can tell that it's him, but it's still like he does these little things to his voice where it's like, oh, no, I'm putting on an accent. It's like, but we know, you're a white guy doing this accent. I feel it.
Yeah, and I just,
you know,
like, even the low-gradeness of some of it, like, oh, no, the chupacabra, it bit my neck. And I was like, fuck. It's just... Mike Tyson's voice lends itself to humor for me, where he just hearing him talk kind of puts me in a lighter mood, knowing who he is and all this stuff now. And then the lines that they give him, my God.
I don't believe they give him any lines. I'm under the impression that they've given everyone else lines and Mike Tyson is reacting.
I would argue, you know, in my head canon, Mike writes his own lines.
Yeah, pretty much. Or he just comes up with them on the spot. Because a lot of them don't feel...
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them do not feel like he's... I know it's like, oh, well, you know, he's a shitty actor. Sure. But it's just something about them feel as if he had to think about them before saying it. As if it just popped up. Where it's just, Mike, you have to deal with the chupacabra. The chupa what? And that might not even have been in the script. And they were like, fuck
God.
It.
I love that. The Kamakubra? And just Norm Pigeon just like, he has trouble with the word chupacabra.
Yeah, like, that's a hard word for him. No, yeah, chupacabra is a really hard word for him. There's a lot of... Yeah.
This episode one we're talking about now, which is the chupacabra episode.
Yes, the end.
But,
So talking about it from the beginning, like as you do with other
the
shows.
The cast.
It's funny, I think, that... What?
No, I'm saying, like, the cast is introduced right as the show opens, which is fun for me.
it's fun because it's such an interesting way to do it. Where, and of course, it was interesting, but also very cliche, where, you know, in most, and they knew what they were doing, obviously, in writing, because usually the shows that you sit there and you go, oh, at least at this point in our lives, this point, you know, being 2014 as well, when
right.
someone appears on screen and someone appears on screen and you don't know them, because they're just introducing a show, and then they just go, oh, it's you as well. Yeah, well, you know what? I don't want to talk to you after what you did to my brother. Well, don't think that you're so innocent, Mr. High and Mighty. You know what I mean? And they do all that stuff, and you're like, you're obviously setting up a scene, right? You know, to kind of get us into their backstories. So I loved how this was kind of like that, but just out there, where it's just, you know, it's just, you know, it's like, you're an ass. Well, you're an ass. Well, you know what? Maybe I want to be back in my real body after my wife put me in a pigeon body. Yeah, well, you deserve that. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. You just appeared on his doorstep. You know what I mean? Like, well,
no,
I want to know that.
So much.
Yeah.
So, and I love Mike's memory, by the way. And I think this, did this come up in the second episode, I think? Yes, it did. Oh, no, this came up in the first one. When he had his memory of his first exchange with Yoon-hee, where it was just,
oh, yeah, the talking baby.
Yeah,
yeah.
On the doorstep. And you told me, stop living for yourself. And Marquise is like, that was me. I don't mean to rush your boat, but that was me. And later on in that episode, see, it was a good thing that you told me to stop living for myself. And Marquise is like, God damn it. It's just...
It's really funny because I admit, he was being an ass about it the first time around, but also, like, you know, I still have to say, to be honest, I agree with him. Only because I would be upset, too, if someone thought like a baby and instant talked. That's the only reason why, for me, where it's not even the idea. Like, it could have been anything, where it's like, you know, I remember that time you told me to buy Chinese food. No, she did not tell you that, Michael.
I mean, looking at the cast of characters, by the way, you know, because introducing, talking about the first episode is talking about the characters for the first time, because it's the first time we're talking
right.
about this, of course. So mm-hmm. you look at the main four, which is what? So Marquise, Pigeon, you actually main four, right? No, main four, right? Marquise, Mike, Yoon-hee, and Pigeon.
Right.
Yeah, so I like each one of the characters already. I'm so amused by them because Pigeon is a dick. He's like an older dick Shaggy. And
yes.
I like that because he's aloof as hell and just like, do you remember why we're here? The open bar. Fuck. And that was the second episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, so he's an aloof Shaggy. Instead of being a pothead, he is a drinker, which is funny.
Right. And also, he's just a complete dick, which is, I think, really helps him set him up with the ghost as well. Where it's just, anything that he does, it's just so, would you say that the Pulitzer or, you know, the Pulitzer or the Pulitzer?
My God, that line was great. Yeah, like, they are great. Chemistry in terms of like an animated humor world, that's wonderful
yeah.
because they're obviously going to be at ads. And also, I have to say, Norm's voice fits him so fucking well.
Oh,
I
yeah,
think.
Completely.
It just, I loved it in the beginning. You know,
yeah.
what's the mystery is that, you know, who was my mother and why did she leave me on your doorstep? It's probably because she didn't like you. She didn't want you. Mystery solved. Fucking.
Yeah, it was mystery solved. It is his voice, and I think it's also the fact that, you know, a lot of talking animals have been on TV recently that aren't
right.
Mr. Ed, right? A lot of talking things,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like you have Klaus, you have a koala, you have Roger. So you sit there and it's just like, oh, Brian, of course, you know, you sit there and you're like, all right, so like what's going to happen here, right? But I really feel like, you know, putting Norm and giving the pigeon this kind of character really, you know, makes it a bit different. And I think what we've seen thus far from all the other kind of talking things, you know, where it's just a complete, you know, yeah, Roger has kind of turned into a sociopath, even just himself, not even the characters. But
right.
still, you know, still, Norm, I just feel like, you know, everything that he does is just as if it's just to piss everyone off. But in a way, he's just like, ah, I got to live. You know, what am I going to do? I'm in a pigeon's body.
Yeah, and it fits him very well. At the flip side of that, Marquise being dead, which I love, is just very subtle. Yeah, he's dead, but he helps them out. He's dead, but he helps them out.
Oh, yeah, no, it's great how it's just, you know, they'll mention this and that and as if he isn't dead, as if it's just, yeah, it's normal that he's dead, whatever.
No, so that's fun for me. Just one of the cast members has to be actually dead already. I'm like, that's actually kind of fun. And then
yeah.
the Velma equivalent is Asian. But
is
not
his
only
Asian
is she
daughter.
Asian, it's, yeah, Mike Tyson's daughter.
Who has a tracksuit just like his, but it's light pink.
With the question mark.
With the lovely, oh my God, I love it so much. But another thing, by the way, I don't know if you picked up on this, and I'm a huge fan of this. The idea that it's kind of a throwback to the 80s cartoons of old, where it was basically just, hey, this person is popular, just put him in a cartoon, whatever. But how's it going to work? I don't give a fuck, I'm snorting coke. Like, why don't I give a shit?
Right, right? And he gets his own series, let alone a fucking appearance. His own fucking series. And
I mean,
it's obviously a throwback to Scooby-Doo in the first place.
Well, obviously, yeah, it's a spoof on Scooby-Doo in general. But the idea is, like, okay, here's one that you might not know about that. It's very funny when you think about it. You know about Rambo, First Blood, right?
Right.
With, yeah, that was made into a TV series for children, cartoon. I believe they censored the shit out of it, and even the idea of it was just like, I don't want this.
That's why I'm laughing. I know nothing about this, Matt, but that sounds like something you and I would pitch to each other drunk at 3 in the morning. It's just, this, you know what would be great? Rambo the TV series for kids.
Yeah.
How did that?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So the point is that everyone could get a show. I mean, you know, we talk about WWE a lot, and they got their own TV show that's coming to the network. If
right.
It's not already on the network. So, and not coming as in it's new. It's still the 80s cartoon series, which is really funny because a lot of people that we know voiced over certain characters in that show because none of the actual actors voiced themselves. None of the characters from WWE, I hate that I call them characters, very sorry, but, you know, voiced
right.
themselves in the show. But still, yeah, that's the thing. So when you think about it, you're like, Hulk Hogan got his own show because it was WWE, the show, but it was called, like, Hulk Hogan's Rock and Roll Wrestling or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Point is that, you know, that's what they did back then. It was just, you're popular, put him on a show, right? And I like that it's kind of a throwback to that, where it's just a complete batshit crazy, fuck it, we're making this for, like, adults, but it's set up to be, like, how you would make a kid's show at the time, where
mm-hmm.
it's just animated, put all these crazy, kooky characters together, and let's call it a day.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they're honestly not willing to, when we talked about Space Dandy a couple months ago, we watch an anime like that, we appreciated how refreshing it felt just to be kind of stupid different. Because it's not stupid in a way where we sit at and it's like, that's a really bad idea and that's just not a good joke, let's not watch it. It's stupid as in nonsensical. It's silly, wacky, as you said. And that in no way makes it bad. In fact, because of all the stuff that we watch, it is almost refreshing. I feel that way, where it's just kind of fun after a long day for me to sit down and just watch that and laugh my ass off. And I like to think about things, you know, in terms of I'm a sociologist, so I'm constantly thinking about the world and struggle and social commentary. So I can appreciate something like The Boondocks. But there is some kind of weird solace that I can take in knowing that I can watch Mike Tyson's Mysteries and just laugh for like 12 minutes straight.
That's nice.
But you know what I mean, right? Well,
yeah,
like,
no, of
that's
course.
Not a knock on, like, Gravity Falls, which makes me, like, really excited and, like, I need to see more. It's not a knock on The Boondocks, which makes me think, and again, is, like, one of my favorite shows. But there is something to be said, like a role play, a specific niche for this show that I think is just really, really filled with good humor. And
most definitely.
It's zany. And so you look
also,
at things like the first episode.
I would like to mention, Cormac McCarthy is not a centaur. I just love that, just like, you know, some other shows like, you know, Gravity Falls or Steven Universe that we enjoy, they throw something out there that we're not supposed to pick up on.
Yeah, it's funny because when it happens in Gravity Falls, it's like an, I see what you did there moment. Like, what's the one thing I told you not to do, Dipper? Raise the dead. And what did you do? Raise the dead. That was like, you know, it's that kind of foreshadowing. It's like, all right, that was slick. In this one, it's like, you fucking bastards. Like, Mike is like, is that why he hides? It's because he's a centaur? And then later on, see, I told you that was the mystery. And I was just, fuck.
Oh, by the way, bringing it back to something, because now I am the fact checker tonight. So I looked up the Rambo cartoon. It's called Rambo, The Force of Freedom.
There was
some controversy. Rambo was the first R-rated film property to be given a treatment of a children's cartoon show.
Okay.
I don't know what the last might be, but that is the first. The cartoon generated a minor
controversy. It is the first and last,
studio.
Actually.
I assume so. Yeah, I assume so. It generated a mild controversy at the production studio, with writers wondering how they could present a child-friendly main character who was created as a troubled Vietnam War veteran suffering from PTSD. You know. The show's child psychology advisors killed themselves on the spot. No, they believe that the target audience, young children and preteens, would not grasp that aspect of his character. They recommended that the cartoon not make any reference to Vietnam, POWs, or Rambo's experiences in the first movie and in the second movie. You can see why Mike Tyson mysteries can become a thing. You know, based on someone sitting there and going, the hell is this?
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. And I just...
Yeah.
I want to know, though, where they got the idea. Like, do we know where they got the idea for the TV show? Not like in Scooby-Doo, but I mean, like, who sat there and thought this would be a good show?
Which one?
Mike Tyson's Mysteries.
No idea. I assume it was just the idea that... Because here's the thing. It does fit on Adult Swim. I think that's just where it is. Where, you know, they just thought, hey, we have a 15-minute time slot to kill. You know, how about we just throw something in there? What do you have? And it's just Mike Tyson Mysteries. We can just, you know, think about it. They're 11 minutes long. They're very easy to animate. Very, not crudely drawn, but drawn like they used to draw cartoons. So it's not as if they're using some crazy... Like Black Dynamite, I would assume, is harder to make as an episode in terms of animation than this show is.
Because of the style of animation, definitely.
So I assume it's easy. You know, they only have a 4-person cast, and I already mentioned to you how they've already reused, you know, that other actor to be 3 different people in 2 episodes. So I'm sure he's in episode 3 as well. So with the amount of, it would be like if you and I made something. Now I know there's a lot more money into this. I'm sure poured into because Tyson is involved, but still, it would be like if you and I made this, and we just did celebrity voice impersonation of Tyson. Let's be like, I'm Jay Leno. But anyway, so but seriously though, it feels that way where they haven't really gotten that many, or anyone that I would think other than Tyson, who's just whoa, you guys broke the bank.
Yeah, that makes sense. I really want to find the person whose brainchild this is and kind of hug them.
Yes.
Just like, you know, you did a good thing here. This is giving me hope in society. And of course, the writers. I'd like to hug them all individually, too. Because I don't think there was a single joke in the first episode, at least, that didn't make me laugh a little. I was like, okay, this is all good. This is really all funny to me.
Yeah, I understand. It really was funny. I get you. I'm right there with you.
We haven't even discussed the actual plot of the first episode, which was the fact go ahead.
Ain't got no time for bird sex, gotta fly. That was the plot of the episode, right?
I love, by the way, that's an actual song. Not
quote-unquote
that it's an actual song, but...
Yeah,
They recorded it for the episode, and it's just that kind of dedication makes me happy. Because the joke alone was fine, especially when Cormac McCarthy was like, "Bird sex reminds me of that old song." I was like, "Fuck!" They're really running with this. And then in the background, "Ain't got no time for bird sex." I was like, "Fucking
so,
hell!"
So if it makes
guys.
You feel any better, as of right now, you only have to hug 2 people: the director, Ethan Spaulding.
Yes.
Who, mind you, has directed every single episode, and the writer, Hugh Davidson, who has also written every single episode thus far.
One writer and one director.
Yes, as of right now.
That is a smart, smart two pair of people that I want to really, really express love to.
Yes. they have, yes, they've worked on some interesting things. The director has worked on Avatar: The Last Airbender, you know, and more of the obviously background stuff. So apparently he actually has worked on Scooby-Doo before.
That makes sense
stuff,
obviously. Now. That,
yes.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes. I mean, in my opinion, anyone can do that if you have the right vision and if you enjoy Scooby-Doo that much.
Agreed.
But yes, that makes sense.
But it helps piece this puzzle together. You know, it helps put the mystery together.
If you've already. Also, Hugh Davidson, the writer, he has worked on Robot Chicken. A lot of people, I think, cross over when you're on late night
Adult Swim and Cartoon Network. Yeah, no, and I say Adult Swim like it's a separate entity, but of course, you know, extension late night Cartoon Network. It makes sense.
In
and
a way,
honestly,
it is, but yes.
The humor also makes sense now a little bit more because, in terms of Robot Chicken's humor, those one liners and stuff like that, a lot of that comes through in Mike Tyson's Mysteries.
Yes. He's also a voice actor on the show. He also worked on something as a writer and voice actor for a show that I've only barely seen, but I actually want to look into more. You may have seen it. Saul of the Mole Men.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And what else? There was an Adult Swim special, Young Person's Guide to History, that he starred in.
Okay.
And he was also on the show Mad. The TV show Mad that was on Cartoon Network. So, yeah, clearly he's done some work. And, yeah, he's very good at what he does. And it's fun. It's nice because he has no picture on his Wikipedia page. It's very tiny. And I hope that's just us one day. We're just, look, we did things, but not, and here they are. Here's what they ate this morning. Those guys.
Yeah, and it'd be fun to have that kind of, because I really wouldn't mind having, like, a niche hit like this. And just people sitting there like, who are they? They deserve my love. Because that's honestly
right.
How I feel about these Mike Tyson mystery people right now. Including
most
Mike Tyson.
Definitely.
I have
right,
to admit that, you know, being a big part of that is Mike Tyson. And just the ridiculousness that his character brings to the episode. I mean, the whole plot was they had to, as the mystery... Well, first off, he's using carrier pigeons. You know, that alone. I think made me smile.
He uses carrier pigeons. I have a feeling that one of them was turned into, you know, like was the husband. I can only assume. And then, so one of them was the husband. So, you know, we're now Norm MacDonald, a carrier pigeon. And then I don't know what to say next. Honestly, just, I really don't know what to say.
No, I know. This is one of these shows that it's really hard to talk about because you really need people to see it. Because we can't sit here and podcast for an hour reciting every joke. And, you know, literally that's totally possible. We can sit here. But just everything in context with good voice acting and how everything is done makes this show. And I honestly mean that, where I don't promote things like that this often.
No, I mean, I think what it is just that, you know, they definitely care about this. They definitely care about this show. And that's why I enjoy them, like, as people and for what they've done. Because they're just huge fans of the program, of Scooby-Doo and stuff like that. They're just big fans of Scooby-Doo and, you know, and all these older shows that I grew up on at the time.
Yeah, and...
So it starts off with the carrier pigeon, right? It starts off with the carrier. He reads a long card, right? A card where it ends up just, you know, all these words, too many words. And then they help McCarthy with this, you know, book that he's writing, quote unquote. You know, and it's just, it's wonderful because it's just, you know, describing it to some people who might be like, well, why do I want to watch it? You know, and of course there are definitely some listening and hello, you know, because you've given it praise, but I mean, hey, why not, right? So, you know, it's just it's Mike Tyson. I'm really trying to find words here, but just Mike Tyson with just the everything that he brings to the table. like you said before, it's hard to explain because of all the stuff that he brings to this, you know, program. And I know it feels like I'm gushing about him. And you know, I know he's had a history. As an actor, he just is terrible, which is why it really lends itself to this show. It sucks, though, in a way, because he's so bad in a way where you wish someone was good would step in. You know what I mean? And as an actor myself, feels weird. But he just kind of does lend himself to this show specifically. I mean, hell, it's named after him.
Yeah. It's just I can't say, you know, I'll be saying the same words over and over again. But, oh my God.
Yes.
The ending of this episode just ended up being what? The author that they thought they were helping out was a centaur and didn't need the help. The random Hispanic assistant to him wanted to see if he could write like Cormac, was killed, and John Updike was turned into a chupacabra, who Mike Tyson realized in a moment of happiness as the young man died, that's what I have to do.
Yeah,
I just love that, though. I have to beat the out of the chupacabra because that's the only thing I haven't beat the out of yet. And
Also, another thing, too, by the way, which Norm the Pigeon mentioned earlier in the episode, is the idea that, you know, Mike Tyson has already basically been neutered in a way because of the ghost. So, Mike Tyson sits there and goes, yeah, I won't punch anyone, I won't beat anyone up, you know, that isn't my life now. But, it's, you know, a chupacabra, or whatever he decides to call it that day, a chupacabra, it has the, you know, it's a monster. You can beat the hell out of a monster. You know? I mean, there's nothing, you know, we've discussed this before, you know, in our other shows, where it's just, human being, hey, slow down, man. Monster? Beat that thing up. It's a monster, you know? So it's the idea of just, yeah, chupacabra, whatever. It happens.
Mm-hmm. And I think, by the way, my favorite line in the series to date, actually, is when he's walking in the darkness and the clouds come over the moon. He's like, oh man, I'm gonna go blind. No, my other senses are gonna be heightened. I use my sense of humor. Yeah. I'll say shit like, oh man, it's good that I'm blind. At least I had to see your ugly face. And
No. That was perfect. So he didn't go, hey, he was like,
yeah, it's because I can't do that laugh. I can do his voice, but I can't do the Mike Tyson laugh.
No, it was perfect. And the episode itself was perfect. And it was just something that really drew me in and made me think, because I wanted to watch it because the idea of just, you know, Craig Ferguson promoted the show, and he had John Rash on, who was the voice of the ghost. And it was really funny because he had him on, and he showed a clip from Mike Tyson's Mysteries. And he sat there for a second because, you know, he's standing up before the guest comes out. So he's standing up, he shows the clip, and he looks down, and he looks up at the screen, and he goes, and you thought we were the weirdest thing on television. And it's true, because those are Craig's show, you know, the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, which if, you know, fans, you're not watching, you should watch before he goes off the air. He's very interesting, and I love him. But it's so true, which if you think he's weird, go watch Mike Tyson Mysteries. So we're on the next episode now. We're on.
Yeah, but, you know, keeping the same theme for a second. Similar types of humor. The Robot Chicken, you know, you brought this up because the writer had worked on there. But if you liked Robot Chicken, this is probably something you would like, you know. Wouldn't you agree?
I do think so, yes. But what I think, you know, something a bit better than Robot Chicken in a way, is that it's focused specifically on these characters, which allows these characters to grow instead of being, you know, based in various sketches, which are fun. But, you know, various sketch comedy that also because, you know, with the way Robot Chicken works and the staff, and I'm sure they've shared some staff with Family Guy over the years, you know, I feel like they can be a bit more offensive than Mike Tyson Mysteries is, where, of course, it's going into, you know, it can go into weird places, and I'm not saying I'd show like this to a five-year-old or anything, but I feel like this is something where they're not being edgy, you know, or like they don't want to make something that's overly offensive, other than the fact that Mike Tyson has a show, which to some, you know, they do find it very offensive because of his past. But other than that, right there, it's just the idea of, you know, all right, let's just, you know, be stupid rather than, oh, let's be stupid, but sometimes in ways that can be either offensive or, you know, and then the house burned down. Everyone died.
Yeah, you know, I'll definitely give you that without any point of argument, because I think that's a great point, that being an avid fan of Robot Chicken myself, I can totally understand that one of the criticisms of the show is that sometimes it tried hard to be edgy, and in some places it worked, and it was funny. But you can definitely identify the attempts in being offensive, pushing the boundaries, as part of their humor. And for someone like me, for the most part, it definitely worked, and I appreciate Robot Chicken for what it is. But I can totally understand you sitting, and of course we're jumping the gun, because just two episodes of Mike Tyson's Mysteries, you know, this is the first two. But basing it off what we see, it's totally something that could be better. And another thing about it is that, you know, you identify the fact that we can see four characters to grow with and follow them. But, you know, Robot Chicken being sketch comedy, the biggest issue with sketch comedy is, what if they don't get the reference? And so with Mike Tyson's Mysteries, you don't have to worry about what if they get the reference, because a lot of the humor is very wide. I don't know how to describe it, but it can appeal to a very wide audience.
I slightly disagree. You do definitely have to worry about getting the reference, but at the same time, you know, a bit different than Robot Chicken, where, the first episode, arguably, was centered around a reference that people might not get. But as you mentioned, which is a point that I do agree with you, is that the comedy is so good in the, you know, and of course it's a bit longer than a typical Robot Chicken sketch. So
Definitely. Even
if you didn't get it, then you would at least be drawn in by the humor. And the second episode, I think, is a bit easier to get, I feel. Especially, you know, I don't know what time period they're in, mind you, but I think the second one is definitely easier to get. But still, I agree with you in the sense that, you know,
I will
the humor
that,
can make up for
that. Yes, the you know, the John Updike reference, stuff like that, probably didn't resonate with a lot of the viewers, including myself. You know, I knew of them, but it's not something that I can be like, all right, this is exactly what the joke was. So, you know, I'll admit to that. And you point out the benefit. I mean, if you look at this as one really extended Robot Chicken skit,
it works.
It works, I think. Because, I mean, remember, I don't think we've mentioned this already, but the episodes are essentially 12 minutes each.
No, I mentioned it, but yeah, it's 11 minutes each, about.
Yeah, I mean, so if you don't believe us and you are listening, sit down and watch episode one or I mean, there's not really continuity here, so you can watch two first if you want. Slightly favoring the first one because you get the quick explanation of the characters and it is pretty funny.
Right.
But the second one is also pretty funny, which is
what
we're talking
about. I enjoy the
second
one a lot, actually, because of just, first off, deaf people have no language, according to Mike Tyson.
That's not even what got me. Yang, if you're a robot, you can tell me. I'm not going to judge how you live your life.
Yeah, get your freak flag on, R2-D2.
Get your freak on, R2-D2, beep, beep.
It was...
Matt, and just
extensive
jokes, that I love the continuity of the jokes within an episode. Where, like, you know, later on, it's that's your daughter? She doesn't look a thing like you. That's because she's a robot.
And mind you, his face mixed with how he said it. It was just the way he said it, so matter-of-factly. Like, if you didn't know, my daughter is a robot. Just saying. Like, without a doubt in his mind. Oh, my God. Also, you know, bringing up Norm MacDonald again, which I really love. Just, I love Jess. Really? I didn't know that. Yeah, because it's a lie. No, because
I love hanging out with you all.
No, because that's something that I do on a daily basis, where I'll sit there and I'll just be like, you know, I'll say something. And then, you know, one of our, you know, co-hosts, Ashley Coltan, will say, oh, really? And I'll go, yes. Also, just in case you know, that is also a lie. And I'll move on with even to my kids, you speech and debate coach here, even to my kids, I'll just say something to them and they'll nod and be like, also, that is a lie. Please don't do that. Or it could be anything. Which would be like, hey, did you know that Ebola can be transferred through looking at someone? Also, remember that don't spread that because people will take it as a truth because it's a lie. Thank you.
Yeah, no, and I get that type of humor. Being an asshole. I get that type of humor. And I also love the whole, that's a hat on a hat. And just Trevor Burbick, no, you wanted to call it Ultimate Judgment Day, and I told you that's a hat on a hat. It's like, rest in peace, Trevor Burbick.
Yes, no. I love that the rest in peace trick worked. It's a thing.
I love that. Yeah,
so
it's Marquise is just, please don't use it on me.
That's all that I ask. You know, thanks for teaching me that, Marquise. Yes, just please don't teach it on me. Please don't use it on me. But also, by the way, the idea that when you first hear it, and this is just me, when you first hear it, the whole Ultimate Judgment Day thing, I think you chuckle and you're like, that's stupid. But I want people to sit, maybe it's just me and I'm an idiot, but sit down and think about that. Where
Mike
like
was
the
right.
Ultimate Judgment Day. Yeah, and it's like, but was there already an original Judgment Day? No, it's Judgment Day.
You can't have an Ultimate Judgment Day without the original Judgment Day. And I love that Mike took credit for that idea, even though it wasn't his. He spoke about it as if it was his contention.
Yes.
And just the lines in this episode
really here's the thing,
got
though.
Laugh.
Yes. Yeah, there was a lot in this episode. But I want to add, I don't think that he knew that he took it.
No.
Because he's a boxer.
Right. So it's implied that, you know, Mike Tyson being Mike Tyson is a lot like Hulk Hogan. Where,
oh my God,
in the sense that, like, see, Hulk Hogan tells these stories, and you can pretty much assume that he's just flat out lying and exaggerating. And the difference with Mike Tyson, as you allude to, though, who is telling these equally ridiculous things, is that he seems to actually believe, like, they happened. Like, he was honestly contending in the first episode that a baby told him to stop living for himself. And now he's sitting there telling stories of things people have told him as if they were his idea. And
honestly believing
that. And that's really just generally an amusing thing to watch go on.
You know what's also interesting that you may not, hopefully you picked it up, but I don't think you did because you didn't bring it up to me. The IBM CEO, that's Gideon's dad from Gravity Falls.
It sounded like it, and I didn't want to be the idiot to try that. And
fair
I'm
enough.
Really...
No. Well, think about it. Think about it.
Because you can hear
if
it.
If anyone watches, if you anyone watches Gravity Falls, hear me out, though, which obviously, yes, you can. If anyone watches Gravity Falls here, right, the voice of Blendon Blandit, the time traveler, is also the voice of Rick and Morty from the show Rick and Morty on Adult Swim. So clearly there's people that know each other. And it sounds crazy, but, like, okay, The Walking Dead has a few British people. It's a British invasion in the damn show. They have a lot of British people. And I thought, where's the connection? One of the producers is British. The casting director. So you're like, okay, that's the connection. Because in Walking Dead, you have Rick. You have, it was an African-American man. I forgot his name, but I know that he appeared a few times. He's British. You know, the governor is British. He was actually on a few shows in the UK that I enjoy, one of them being Doctor Who, where he was the quote-unquote doctor for a bit, and he was quote-unquote. And he was also, you know, in another show I enjoyed called Blackpool, where he actually worked with David Tennant, who was the doctor for a bit. So, anyway, it's very interesting, where it's just, you know, you wonder, where's the connection here? And clearly it's the fact that, you know, we've discussed before where that actor, the one Blendon, he knows Alex Hirsch very well, the creator of Gravity Falls. So clearly that's where that is. And for all we know, there could be a lot of other connections that we don't know about where it's just, oh, you know, because for us, for some reason, we think, oh, children's show. Stay away from all of this naughty stuff, you know. Although Norm MacDonald has done Fairly Odd Parents, but still, usually he hasn't done
as Norm,
he hasn't
by
done
the way,
recently.
As Norm
yeah.
the Genie,
yeah.
which made me smile.
Yeah. But he hasn't done it recently, I believe. So,
no, he hasn't. And it's one of the things that's really cool about this whole collection of voice acting, because you being someone who would like to do something like that in the future, if not that specifically, it's kind of cool for you to think about how you'll make connections, where you could switch from doing something on, like, a guest star on, like, Dora, and then turn around and do a Robot Chicken sketch. And it's across different, you know, the Dora thing is a bit far-fetched, but just the idea of, like, things like Adult Swim and more revolutionary shows on Disney Channel, like Phineas and Ferb or Gravity Falls, and then just the general stuff that goes on Adult Swim, like Rick and
you
Morty.
You picked Dora. You picked Dora because I'm Spanish. You, sir, are a racist.
Do you want to know why I picked Dora? I'll be honest with you. I literally cannot think of anything else that shows on Nickelodeon anymore. Because there's so much random crap on there from what I hear. that in terms of kids' shows,
you couldn't just pick SpongeBob?
The only one, yeah, but in my head, like, I was thinking, like, children educational. Not like Fairly Odd Parents or SpongeBob, you know. But or, I was thinking, like, what educates the kids these days? And the only thing I
Paw
can
Patrol.
Remember that... Is that a show?
It's a legit show. It isn't actually
I'm
an educational thing.
I'm not mocking
thing,
it. I just want to know if you're... Yeah, because I don't know these shows anymore.
Our fact checker, trying to fall asleep next to me, Ashley Colpan, one of our co-hosts, nods that it is indeed a show.
Thank you, Ashley.
Yes, she watches it with her nephews. Her nephews. I'm becoming Mike Tyson. It's actually a curse. I think the full moon is out. I become Mike Tyson when the moon is out.
No, it's fine. If you lose your sense of being able to talk, your vision will get better, and so will your sense of humor, apparently.
Well, it is one of my eight senses.
That's good, Mike.
Anyway,
that's gay.
By the way, I want you... Okay, so Ultimate Judgment Day made sense. Right. There's another one that made sense that I really enjoyed, where the CEO of IBM was messing up. He was talking to the computer, by the way, and he was messing up and called NCIS NCSI. And I sat there and I thought, that actually makes sense. You know, because, like, are you sure it's NCIS? Why? That sounds weird. It should probably be NCSI, shouldn't it? And it's
no,
like, damn it.
Yeah, because CSI is actually a thing, you know, a show.
Yeah.
Which is why it's a joke, and I love that. Just it's CSI, NCSI, right? NCIS, the fuck Deep Blue.
Also, by the way, I loved how they picked the one person that everyone knows about on the show. It's like,
yeah,
it's the goth one.
Me so happy, the goth girl. And it's like, and everybody sitting there was like, I know her, and I was like, God damn it, that was smart.
And
that was really
and then it
good.
Was like, fine, I'll introduce you to her.
And I just loved Deep Blue shitting bricks, too.
Yes, the computer shit itself. And I was so excited. I was so happy. Because I just sat there and I thought, you know, it's just because if they, you know, then you're going to be the one on the front. You know, you're going to be the one dead, basically. And then it just, come on, Deep Blue, not on the carpet.
And I like another joke that got with me, since I guess we're just talking about comedy theater here. The pigeon convinced Mike Tyson that Adolf Hitler's brain was in the computer.
You're actually wrong. Not his brain. Adolf Hitler himself.
Oh, no, Adolf Hitler himself was in there because the computer was actually a time machine.
Yes, which is a recurring joke.
And he beat the crap out of it.
But it was a recurring joke. Because earlier in the episode, when he punched the Grandmaster.
Two things I cross my fingers. When I told you I would put my fist down to stop destructing things, there were two things that I crossed my fingers for. And I just, he got mad because he thought that was the Grandmaster of the Ku Klux Klan.
No, that's the thing. He called himself a Grandmaster and he punched him. And then Marcus came and said, no, that's a Grand Wizard, you idiot.
There was so much wrong with all of that.
But it makes sense, though, because I have to admit, if I had the chance, I would punch both of those people in the face.
No,
like,
I totally get it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Also, the idea that apparently Marcus sleeps.
But he's having trouble sleeping, and it makes him a really bad person the next day. And I just
it makes him really irritable.
He's been having trouble sleeping, and Mike's just like, why, is it because you're a ghost and you can see through your eyelids? It's like, that's a good point of contention, Mike. Like, I couldn't even be mad at him. I was like, that would piss me off, too. That's why I laughed, because I was like, those are, like, it's one of those things where it's like, those are, you file them under stupid questions everybody wants to ask, but nobody will at risk of looking dumb. It's like that whole,
except
like,
for Mike Tyson.
It's like, do gay guys get turned on by their own junk? It's one of those things.
Where you're just like, where, you know, people, there are a lot of people that would at least think that once in their lives. But then if you're not that young, you just wouldn't ask the question. Unless, of course, you were really one of those kind of people, which is just like, come on, that's not a question you ask. But like Tyson would.
Right, and it makes sense.
Yeah. So apparently Thorne convinced, what I like too is the idea of just, hey, his brain is in that thing. You're drunk. Huh. Well, it's like, I am, basically, conceding to it. Be like, you're not wrong there. but how do I convince Mike? Oh, by the way, I love that it was just like, oh, you know, it was just, don't worry. I know you lost to that computer, you know, to his daughter, but you can do more than it can. Dad, I'm not a, like, just sitting there, it's like, once something is in Mike Tyson's head, it's just there forever.
Yeah, and it's, you stated earlier where he said the earlier thing was like, that's because she's a robot, in such a matter-of-fact way, where it's like, that's because she has glasses. Like, no, that's because she's a robot. And he just found this out literally 15 minutes ago. Just,
well, a bit longer in the car, but yes.
Yeah, but just, why didn't you tell me? And just, he got over that, and he's accepted her robot form and is now promoting it to the public. And just the underlying humor here is absolutely amazing.
What I think is better than that is, you know, that in itself, like a robot person, right?
Yes.
It, and also, the idea that the CEO, it's like, well, why does he want to prove that robots are more superior than people? Because it's something that, you know, at face value, you go, well, he made the robot. It's his company. He wants to make money. You look at a Black Dynamite a bit, and, you know, wow, I can't believe I forgot the name of the preacher who basically went to both sides, just sold out. I can't believe I forgot his name.
From Al Sharpton.
Black Dynamite. First up, Al Sharpton, thank you. I'm thinking of all these other ones, like Jesse Jackson. Johnny Cochran came to my mind. I was like, no, not Johnny Cochran.
That's
yeah,
pretty good, man. I'll give you credit for that.
Yeah, but not Al Sharpton. No, so Al Sharpton, basically.
Look at you busting out the history.
Yeah, right? Whoops. No, but Al Sharpton, you know, he, you know, it's like, oh, he sells, you know, because that's what I'm saying. You just go, oh, that person just wants money. So they'll sell out their own people to go to the other side if it's profitable and if they're on the winning side, right? So you're thinking that. But no, that's not it at all. The CEO of IBM is a man-machine. He himself is a robot. And you sit there and you go, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and just, I love, by the way, when he rocketed out of the building, just, can you do that?
Yeah, no, that and then the idea of throughout the entire episode, they were promoting that, where it's just they were promoting robot people, and it was, but like it was so under the radar that we didn't. So now we watch the third one.
Foreshadowing things.
Yeah, so now we watch the third one and the fourth one. We have to look at this with a bit of Gravity Falls, which is kind of funny because when you look at Gravity Falls, that's what it does as well.
Did you,
so
you
sit there
have
and
you seen
like,
the plot for the third one, by the way?
No.
Apparently, and this is just off the synopsis, by the way,
okay.
Mike realizes that he's apparently killing astronauts, former astronauts too, and he comes to the conclusion that he's part of a government plot put in place to kill astronauts. That is almost verbatim the synopsis of the episode. And so I don't know, and I don't know who the guest star in quotes of, like, reference is. And I mean that by, like, okay, one of the things I like about the show is that immediately they have made references to real people. Because Mike Tyson is a real person. So it would make sense that people that we know, not particularly, like, every day, but just the people who exist on Earth or have existed in America or something, exist in his realm. So when you look at Thomas Watson, Thomas Watson not being voiced by Thomas Watson, but he did actually create IBM. And then the authors, John Updike, and I can't even remember the other one's name now. Colt McCarthy. Yeah, he is actually a person. So
I'm very excited to see what astronauts that, you know, that are still with us that they will try and get for that episode.
It would just make me smile because I really appreciate the ability to do things like that on TV, where instead of, like, referencing someone, you can actually just straight up be like, nope, that's Thomas Watson.
Yes, of course. But anyway, getting back to this episode, because you have to wrap everything up.
Right.
You know, I really enjoy, first off, not only, so, you know, we have the, you know, we have the man-machine, right, rock it out of there. And in my head, I was like, but there's not going to be a giant fight? Like, what is going to happen here? Because in their eyes, I guess they realized, let's not have Mike Tyson destroy a robot just yet, right? So it was like, oh, so he's gone. That's just kind of, you know, whatever. Tune into the news. Well, stock prices are down because the old,
I love
you know,
that,
CEO
by the way.
Of IBM was
Human
great.
Thomas Watson, one of the best businessmen in history. However, Robot Thomas Watson.
And then, of course, yeah.
Go for it, yeah, because you're thinking the same thing as me right now.
And bringing up, at the end of the episode, the idea, you know, just, and by the way, the chess player that you saw before died.
Yeah, no, I just, immediately
of blunt force
after
trauma.
That, by the way, immediately
yeah.
after Jerry Prostopov has died from blunt force trauma. Well, gang, another mystery solved. Michael, you killed a man. That wasn't part of the mystery, Marquise. That was a hat on a hat. At that point, I was already unable to breathe, but that put
right.
me into shock. That's just that lot one.
Yeah.
He was proud.
And I will admit, some could say, right, some could say that was the shock value thing, but, and I guess I'd get that, but I really think that it was just, you know, a lot more more funny, let's say, than something, you know, than some other shock value type things, because in this case, it's just Michael did it. You thought it was going to be a one-off thing. It wasn't ever going to be brought back. And no, it did get brought back. And he died. And Michael, you know, Mike Tyson, being this person that he is, just it does not register. Where it's just, Mike, you killed him. But that is not what we were talking about previously. We'll get to that soon. We'll get that back in a second. And it's just,
yeah, no,
Mike,
it just,
you
it
killed
made
him.
Me laugh so much because he killed the guy in cold blood and basically was like, look, that wasn't the mystery. And it's like, well, we now know his priorities.
Yes. So now that we're wrapping up,
yeah.
We'd like to thank you all for listening to those guys. If you enjoyed this show that we did, or Virgo, if you enjoyed, you know, Mike Tyson Mysteries, check that from what we said. Check it out. If you've been watching it, keep on watching. Thank you for listening to us. If you enjoyed this show, we have a lot of other shows that we do. If you didn't enjoy this show, well, either way, we still have a lot of other shows. If you want to give us another chance, I don't know. On our Tumblr, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com, we host a lot of shows in our archives, like WWE shows, WWE reviews, Dragon Ball Z movies, Bleach movies, Gravity Falls episodes, Steven Universe episodes, Arrow episodes, Flash episodes, Gotham episodes. Oh boy. What else? Pokemon games.
Yeah, Pokemon, specifically with the new ones coming out. And, you know,
yes.
added on to that now laundry list of things is Mike Tyson's Mysteries.
Yes. So out of all the shows that we've done, yes, now we've added Black Dynamite as well, obviously. And, yeah, so, again, you can check us out, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. You can check our Facebook out, which also has some shows on as well, /thoseguysontheradio, or just search up Those Guys. Our Twitter, named Hillbilly Jim, because of a
yep.
Monday Night Raw post that went awry. And our Twitter name is @ThoseGuysRadio. Also, we will be having an Instagram coming up soon, as well as a YouTube channel. So keep on checking us out. Also, by the way, we have an upcoming Pokemon contest. We already had one previously. We'll be
mm-hmm.
discussing with you the winners on our Tumblr, as well
Tumblr,
as our other social
yes.
media, but of course on our Tumblr as well.
And I'll link everyone
in
the Tumblr, just so there's a convenience
yes, we'll be,
there.
Yes, yes. We'll be adding a new giveaway as well, you know, and we'll give you the, you know, the updates on our Tumblr, which should be soon. So again, thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. Say something, Satish.
Ain't got no time for bird sex. I gotta fly.
I don't have that song, but I do have this song. This shows how happy that I am. If you're a wrestling fan, you'll know. It shows how happy I am about this show.